You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
You guys ready for an Easter sermon? Well, you're not going to get it. You're going to get an after Easter sermon. You ever think about after Easter? So Easter happened one time a couple thousand years ago, right? But then every day has been after Easter. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you get your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we are going to talk about what happens after Easter. I was thinking this morning, the symbol of the Christian faith is the cross. There's a lot of bad things went down on the cross, but of course all good for us who believe in Him. But really the symbol of the Christian faith should be that empty tomb. And as I've often said before, when I preach, this message, and especially this message, is for a couple of people. And there's only a couple of people in the room. One, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've got that relationship with God, then this sermon is definitely for you. And it's supposed to enable you sometime this week when you come across some issues or circumstances, situations that make you reflect back on what you learned today to build your relationship with God. There could be someone here today, though, that does not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so this sermon is especially for you as well. What a great day to start your personal walk with God than on Easter. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. Just understand that you are created on purpose by God to have a walk with Him. So if you're not having a walk with Him, then you're probably pretty unsatisfied with life. And this will be a good sermon for you. You guys ready to go? Mark chapter 16, the first few verses. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, and so that they might go and anoint Him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away that big stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they have laid Him. But go tell His disciples and Peter." Ooh, and I love that one. "Go tell His disciples and Peter that He was going before you to Galilee. There you'll see Him just as He told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You guys heard that story? The day after Easter, what happens? Man, this is it. As a good Baptist preacher, I've alliterated these points for you. There's four of them, all beginning with the letter P. You guys feel like you're in a classroom today? Let's all repeat: God's partners, God's provision, God's plan, and God's passion. First off, I want to address God's partners. You see in the very first or second verse there, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary and Salome bought spices and they went to the tomb. Don't get mad at me, women's libbers and all this stuff. I'm not talking about weak women. All right? But do you understand, in the context of this passage, women didn't have a large role in society. So when we see in the point of this passage that women are the central part of what's happening, that was a big deal. And I put up here, God likes to use the weak. And again, nothing against women. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that the rest of society would look at this and say, now why is He using a bunch of women when a bunch of guys are there? God enjoys using the weak. He enjoys using those who don't bring all of their stuff to the party, but instead come to Jesus and say, hey, I'm nothing. I can be used by you. I trust you. Isn't that pretty cool? You serve a God who wants you just as you are, regardless of what that is. But God chose the foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chose what's weak in the world to shame the strong. What is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God enjoys using nobodies, of which I'm chief. Amen? God enjoys using nobodies, of which I am chief. Amen? You do not have to cling yourself up to get to God. He will do that for you. He loves you as you are. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. He enjoys using the weak things in life. He wants our obedience. He wants our walk. He wants our relationship. We don't come to God and say, man, I got some really good stuff. You can partner on some things. No, He's in charge. He enjoys using the weak things in life, of which, again, I am chief. Judges chapter 6. I love this passage from the Old Testament. So the children of Israel, they're in trouble. They've got a lot of things going on. They're in bondage. The angel of the Lord comes to this guy named Gideon. Gideon is a little guy, small in stature, just a little fella. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, you mighty man of valor, you strong man, are you ready to go and take care of business? And he says to him, what? Me? Mighty man of valor? In fact, he even says, I'm from the smallest of the smallest of the small. I'm from the smallest tribe. The clan is the smallest. The family is the smallest. And I'm the smallest of the family. And then look up here. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? Have you guys ever been in that situation where you look at things and you say, I've got no clue what I'm supposed to do about this? I don't have a way out. It's beyond me. I'm overwhelmed. That's a great place to be. Because that's the place where God shows up. If God is still just another option for you, you're not all the way there yet. He needs to be your only option. We preached a few weeks ago, we need to get exhausted quickly in our daily lives. That means get exhausted to the point of saying, God, I'll trust you. I believe you have a plan for me. I'll stop worrying and do what I need to do and trust you. I love this part with Gideon because, do you see the end of it? Do I not send you? You guys read verses backwards? You need to get in the habit of reading verses backwards. Because this verse says, do I not send you? So now go and strengthen this might of yours. Do I not send you? By the way, he can't go any other way. Gideon cannot say, man, I've got some good stuff. I've been working out. I'm ready to go. He can't. I'm the smallest of the smallest of the smallest. The only way he can go in this mighty man of valor attitude is those last five words, do I not send you? There's no other way. Have you guys ever been in the situation where you have to say, I'm out of answers. I don't have anything else. It's beautiful, isn't it? God's partners, he likes to use the obedient. Do you see the very first verse? It says, when it was still morning, very early, first day of the week, and what are those ladies doing? What they're supposed to do. They're going to go to the tomb and take care of this dead body, aren't they? They got up early because they were obedient. It reminds me, back with David and Goliath. You guys remember David and Goliath? Big guy. Yeah? You with me? Come on, guys. Wake up. It's Easter Sunday, man. And do you remember how David and Goliath came about? How did David find himself fighting Goliath? He was obedient. You want to know what it was about? Little things. Because Jesse, his father, told David, a teenager, hey, would you go down and check on your brothers? They're fighting the battle against the Philistines. Take some wine and cheese and some other stuff to the commander there, but go and find out how your brothers are. First off, I wouldn't want to go and check on my brothers or sisters when I was that age either. Secondly, it's early in the morning. I love my boys, but I don't know if Brock, you're 15 now, aren't you? Would you get up in the morning and do stuff for me, would you? Yes, I do. Well, don't speak unless you're spoken to again. He got up early in the morning. He was obedient. Listen, he was obedient in the little things. That's why he ended up in front of Goliath. Y'all with me? It's the little things. His partners, they don't look for the big stuff. They look for the small things. You want me to do this little thing? Yes, sir. I'll go do it. Boy, obedience in little things leads to bigger things. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? What does that mean? Is he excited about what you can do for him? No. He is excited about your obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. To listen than the fat of rams. It isn't about what you do for God. He wants your obedience. He wants your walk. He wants your relationship. Not what you can do for him. He's not impressed with that. The only thing he's impressed with is your relationship with him. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we'll come to them and make our home with them. But anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words that you hear, they're not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. He wants our obedience. Second thing, talk about his provision. It's unleashed by faith. Guys, what's the take the first three letters off of provision? What do you got? God's vision always has provision with it. He doesn't call us to do things without making the way great, without having the resources there to make sure that we can get it done. When he says, when I say unleashed by faith, do you understand what the women are doing? They did not go to the tomb and say, the rock is still here. How do we get the rock out? What did they say? Look back at the first or second verse. Who will roll away the stone? Verse 3. Who will roll away the stone? When did they ask that question? Look. On the way. On the way. Do you know what the guys were doing? I love you men. I'm one of you. The guys were sitting back at the house going, well, there's a stone and I don't know if we can roll that stone away, so let's just stop here. The women are on the way to the rock. And they're saying, on the way, how do we roll this rock away? I don't know. But are we supposed to do this? Yes. Well, then God will find a way somehow, won't he? How many of our journeys with God stop here before we even take the first step? Because we don't internalize them in our heart. We think about them in our head and we say, how in the world can this work out? God wants your trust. He wants your obedience. He doesn't want you to figure it out. He wants you to trust him. Does that make sense? In everything in life, he is saying, please, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door up and I'll come in and be with you. 2 Corinthians 3, we're confident of all this because of our great trust in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Our confidence is in God. He has enabled us to be servants of his new covenant. This is a covenant not written of laws, but of the Spirit. The old covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Do you know what he's saying there? The book of the law says, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. But we are sinful people. God is a holy God. How can sinful people approach a holy God? Through sacrifice. And who, other than a righteous, holy God, can make such a sacrifice? which is why Jesus Christ, his son, was sent to die for us. So in our place, we have a right relationship with God. You don't approach God and say, I'm pretty good. That falls way short. You know that. You know it. But when Jesus died for us, God said, I will take that sacrifice. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? If you do, you're a follower of Jesus. You have a right relationship with God. You can come to him and say, I was created to have a walk with you. I'm here for that walk. I love you. I trust you. Isn't that cool? Do you understand? God is a totally different God than you might think. You don't get dressed up. You don't get all pearly to come and see God. He takes you as you are. He doesn't expect you to kill yourself for him, although that's happened. He died for you. Wow. What an incredible God we have. He wants you as you are. He cleans you up as you are. He loves you. You were created for this purpose, not anything else. Yeah, but I got a family and I got a responsibility. I understand, you weren't created for that. Yeah, but I'm trying to live a good life. You weren't created for that. You were created to walk with God, just like Adam, the first man, was created. So dear friend, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have him in a personal relationship, no wonder you're off kilter. No wonder you're not satisfied. No wonder you can't make ends and tails. You don't know. You were created to walk with Jesus. Amen? Amen. That deserves a much bigger amen. Amen?
Amen.
God's provision, adequate for his purpose. How did he provide for these gals? Through the trust, through their obedience. Let me get on to this next one. Sometimes his plan. Let's talk about his plan for a minute. It can be unexplainable. Look down at verse, 6? And he said, don't be alarmed. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, he's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. He's not here. He's risen. These gals went to find a dead man. They went to take care of a dead man's body. The angel says, he is no longer here. His plan, which has always been in place, is sometimes unexplainable. We oftentimes get in trouble because his plan doesn't work out the way we want it to. Then we start saying, well, God, if you would just do this, I'd be happy. Do you understand? The object in our lives is him, not us. So, Lord, I can trust your plan. I will trust you and what you have to do, including your timing. Sometimes God's timing is not what we like, and there's the problem. Dear friend, if you've got these issues in your life, you will be tempted to grab them, to control them, to work things out on your own, and God is saying, will you trust me in these matters? Some of you are sitting there saying, yeah, but this is really heavy-duty stuff. Like if someone close to me dies, or if I have a bad accident or something like that, if I lose my job. God is in all the little details. Today, tomorrow, the rest of your life. Every little detail, he's in. Don't just wait for big stuff to happen that you scratch your head and say, how in the world am I supposed to work this out? He wants you now. Sometimes his plan can be unexplainable. Sometimes his plan is always unfailing. Always. What did the angel say to them? Go to Galilee just as he said. Just as he said. Do you realize that whatever God's plan is, it's going to happen? I see one guy in the back nodding his head. Let me ask it one more time. Do you understand that God's plan is going to happen? There is nothing I can do to change that. If he wants to do this, that's going to happen. I want to get on board with whatever he's doing. I'm not going to fight him and say, do this, do this. I've worked it out. If you'll do this, I'll be happy. I don't want to give God direction. Do this. Lots of times we look at God like that big old sugar daddy in the sky. And if you'll give me this job, if you give me this thing, if you do whatever, then I'll be happy. Don't give God direction. He's the God of the universe. Do you think He knows what's best for you? Yeah. Pray directed prayers to God. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. I'm in your hands. I can relax. I can trust you. He's going to Galilee, just like He said. Mark chapter 14, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away." Even who? Peter. Remember that? Peter said, "I'll never." By the way, when did he say, "I'll never forsake you, Lord"? Right after Jesus said, "On this rock, I'll build my church." Woo! "You all fall away. It's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to where?" Galilee. Fast forward a couple of chapters. Where's Jesus? He rose. He's in Galilee, like He said. His plan is always unfailing. Many plans are in a man's heart, but only the Lord's plan will happen. Guys, align yourself with God, and things are going to work out. It doesn't matter what your plans are. They will all fail if they're not His. What's His plan? Look at His passion. Verse 7. Let's read this together. "But go tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him just as He said." Here comes the joke part of the morning. A lot of us have a lot of butts. Some of us have bigger butts than others. I know you're not laughing at me. Do you see any butt in that phrase? None. You know how I would say it? You go tell those disciples, but Peter? Oh. Peter? The one who betrayed me 3 times? Peter? Oh yeah, the big rock of the church. Peter? You make sure that he knows that I'm back and I want to meet with him. Wouldn't you do the same? Do you realize that we all have butts when it comes to God? "Well, I know you love me, but, you don't know where I've been. Lord, I'm going to pray for your will, but, I hope it's this. Oh, Lord, if this would happen, I'd be happy, but I bet you're not going to do it, are you?" We all bring buts to God. What is this word? And. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Also realize this. Here are the disciples and especially Peter. You make sure you single out Peter. Why? They've all scattered, but Peter is down in the dumps. He betrayed his Lord. He was the leader of the group. He was the one that everyone would look to. Peter lost the most when Christ died on the cross. Did you guys hear that? All the other disciples looked at him like, he's gone? Peter took off? He denied Christ? Unbelievable. He loves everybody. Go tell the disciples. Tell everyone. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know who that's for? Everybody. What was that song that we used to sing in Sunday school? Red, yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in the sight. Jesus loves little children of the world. He died for everyone. You will be tempted when you hear that phrase, God loves everybody, like almost the sand of the sea. There's billions and billions of those little sand pieces in the sand, right? The particles of sand. And you're one of them. There's more to it. He loves everyone. He loves you. Even you. go tell the disciples and Peter. You make sure Peter knows, the one. You make sure the one knows. Do you understand God loves the whole world and you? And you? Yeah, but I'm not a good person. Yeah, but I'm not the kind of guy God looks for. Yeah, but I've got my own way. He loves even you. Even you. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs on your head, not mine. The hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Romans says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we were pretty good people. He didn't die for us when we had something good to offer Him. He didn't die for us when we had good things for Him. He died for us when we were sinners. Oh, mercy, people. Do you get the idea that God loves you? You? He loves everyone, and especially He loves you. Again, why did Jesus have to die for us? We need a way to pay for our sins, to connect with God. God is holy. We are sinners. We do wrong things. We break His law. How can we come to God? Well, God said sacrifice. And only God can provide such a sacrifice. He's holy. He's righteous. So He sent Himself in the form of His Son Jesus to die for us. If you want to know God, you must trust that Jesus has paid the price for your sins. Again, take all the buts out of there. But you don't know what I've done. But you don't know what I continue to do. Doesn't matter. God says, if you trust in my Son, we can have a good relationship. The right relationship that you were created to have the day you were born. Before you were born. You and God can enjoy a right relationship every day. That's why you were created. God created you for this purpose, but allows you to make the choice. What good would it be if He said to us, you will have this relationship with me? Well, that's kind of pitiful, isn't it? He wants you to make that choice. It's a free will. Just like Adam and Eve, they chose. Guys, God has a great plan for you, a great relationship waiting for you. All you have to do is accept Him. Does this make sense to you? I started the sermon out by telling you that this is for two people. I'm assuming most of us have that relationship with God. That we at some point said, enough, I'm a sinful man. I keep doing the wrong things day in and day out. I need a Savior. I need someone to help me through these times. And I'll accept Jesus as my Savior and have that good relationship with God. If that's you, remember this sermon this week. You are important. Everyone is, but you especially. And Peter. He wants that walk with you. If you're not a Christian, if you've never had that time where you've understood this and said, I need this. If you will buy into this preacher telling you that you were created for a special purpose, and that's to walk with God, now's the time to start it. Don't delay. It's Easter. What a great day to say enough. Enough. I want to know how I can walk with God. Accept His Son Jesus as your Savior. He'll forgive you of your sins. He will pave the way for you and God to have a right relationship. Not just now, for the rest of your life. That's why you were created. Let's pray. Father, we do so thank you for the morning. Not just this morning, but a couple thousand years ago that morning. When you showed yourself mighty in our behalf, rising from the dead, paying the price for our sins. Lord, as we consider your plan for our lives, you want that relationship. Perhaps there's someone here that does not have that walk with you. If there is someone here that is considering you, may you make that battle strong in their heart and draw them to you. May it be today, Lord. We love you, and we know that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.